2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's all I'm going to read there. I want to preach today from this passage of Scripture. I love Timothy. Thank the Lord for the book that Paul wrote. And I thought as I was reading this down through chapter 4, I thought of how Timothy must have felt to receive the letter that he received from the Apostle Paul, which was his mentor. He was one that had won Timothy the Lord. And here he was in jail writing a letter and saying, I'm ready to go. It's time to leave. I'm going to leave. And I've often wondered how Timothy felt there when he was reading that letter, knowing that Paul was leaving him behind. And they wrote a great letter to Timothy, and thank God for that. We studied through this not long ago in chapter 1, the purpose and the grace of God is in chapter 1, verse 9. And then, of course, chapter 2, the path of a good soldier. That's a good message in that also, the perils that we're facing in chapter 3. Then the preaching in chapter 4. God knew what Paul would say, and of course, through him, told them that the answer to the things that we're facing, the things that we're going through with, is the preaching of the Word of God. That's the answer. We've got to have the preaching. And so, and I want to use out of the last part of chapter 4 today, the last, most of the time we preach out of the first part of chapter 4, but I want to use the last part of it this morning, this evening, for just a few minutes, on the positive aspects of being in jail. Have you ever been in jail? Amen. There are some positive aspects of being in jail. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you go because you robbed your neighbor, because you stole something, or made some drugs, or different. That's not what he's talking about. But Paul wasn't crying about being in jail. He sat down and wrote a great letter to Timothy, and I tell you, he hadn't lost his joy. He hadn't lost his victory. He was staying with the Lord. But I thought about Paul in this. You know, if you're going to be in jail, be in there for the right reason. Amen. You young folks get to messing around with things in this world, and first thing you know, you'll be sitting over in a jailhouse, and you can't vote, and you can't do anything else, and you're in the jailhouse, and you said, well, I didn't intend to do that. Well, nobody intends to do it, but you usually they want to do it. Amen. But and the right part, I told a fellow this last week, a family, they don't think they appreciate it too much, but their boy got in jail, and he just drained them dry, just everything in the world. I said, leave him in there. Just leave him in the jailhouse. Amen. Just let him sit in there. Let him. He made his bed. Let him walk in it. Amen. Let him lay in it. But being in jail ought to be for the right reason, shouldn't it? I believe the Apostle Paul was in jail for the right reason, don't you? I believe he was there because he loved the Lord Jesus. He'd been saved by the grace of God. He knew what it was to get in jail for preaching. And so if they put me in there for preaching, that'll be fine with me. But Paul wasn't crying about that. He was talking about, of course, there were some positive things. And I thought about this, and Paul sitting in the jailhouse. And I thought, what would we be doing if we were sitting in jail today because we'd been preaching the Word of God, because we've been trying to do right for the glory of God. Some men's been put in there for that. And so Paul here, if you'll notice, we think, well, that's a bad place to be, but we think maybe that jail would be a lonely place. You put him there for preaching the gospel. I mean, how many folks is in jail that you could fellowship with? You know, if you got put in there for preaching the gospel, Brother Chris could tell us a little bit about that. He knows about kind of folks that's in the jailhouse. Not a whole lot of folks in there that you could have a camp meeting with in the jailhouse. And so now I thought maybe Paul's lonely in the jailhouse. But he wasn't lonely, was he? I thought about, you know, look in verses 17, verse 16, the Bible said, Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, Paul said, I've been forsaken by men. That was something Paul was accustomed to. He refreshes us that in the same chapter, you know. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. I said, Demas loved this present world. The reason folks don't walk with God is because they love the world. That's what they're for. They're out there loving the world. And Demas had some world in him, and that world kept pulling at Demas. And after a while, Demas said, I'm just going to go back to the world. I'm going to forget about the preaching, forget about the serving the Lord. Forget about the church. Forget about this thing of Christian living. I'm going back to the world. And Demas headed back to the world. How many has run back today because they simply loved what they came out of? I tell you, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I tell you, there's a lot of professors that have run back to the world today. And I tell you, when God does something in your heart, when God saves you by his wonderful grace, put you in his family, does something for you nobody else could do, keeping you out of hell, it makes you want to walk with him, doesn't it? It makes you want to stay with the Lord, and stay with the church, and stay with the preaching, amen. And so Paul knew what it was to be forsaken. He said, Demas forsake me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus gone to Dalmatia. I'm the only Lucas with me, he said, I'm just one man. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And so you see, Paul could have been alone in the jailhouse. Everybody was gone. And most of us, you know, we've got to have a couple of dozen around us before we can feel like we got somebody to fellowship with. But look what Paul said here, and in verses 17, notwithstanding, he said, and the Lord stood with me. And all he said, Demas may be gone, and these other men may be gone. But he said, sit in the jailhouse. He said, the Lord with me. Amen. Thank God for the Lord. How many times you felt lonely? Now I tell you, all of a sudden, God comes on the scene. And God will fellowship with you when nobody else will. And brother, I tell you, there's Paul wasn't alone in the jailhouse. And notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And my friend, God stood exactly by him. And so you see, loneliness is not the worst thing in the world. And you know, I get it sort of amused sometimes at this. And some folks think, you know, well, as long as I get married, that's all I need to do. You know, I mean, I'm lonely. I need to get married. There's a lot of things worse than loneliness, amen. And there really is. I know a lot of folks, you know, and their wives are dying different, and then they get married again, and then they find
find out that they'd rather be lonely than what they chose to do. Amen. Oh, yes, my dear, there's a lot. But Paul said, he said, I may be in the jailhouse. I may be sitting here with Demas gone. And that one that I tried to help, I tried to pray with him. And I tried to help him. I preached to him. I told him about the world and the things that's in the world. All of a sudden, he said, I'm leaving out. I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving the preaching. I'm going away. I'm going back to the world. And Paul might have felt lonely, but all of a sudden God came on the scene, and there the Lord was with him. I'm glad God doesn't forget about us. And you may be alone in your stand sometimes, but I guarantee you this, you're really born again, and you're in the will of God, and Brother God will come on the scene where you're at, and Brother let you know that he's standing with you, and nobody else will. The Lord will, amen. I love people support, don't you? Everybody does. We let him say amen when we're preaching. We let him say glory to God when we're preaching. But sometimes they're just looking at you. Sometimes they're bowed up and they're blown up. And they don't love you anymore. And it feels lonely sometimes. But God comes on the scene. And God helps you. And God stands with you. But nobody else will. Amen. Oh, yes, it gets lonely sometimes. It really does. It gets lonely sometimes. But God. Paul said, this old jail, it's sounding awful hollow. All of a sudden, the Shekinah glory of God, and with a shine on his soul, in the midst of the jailhouse. And but I'm with you, Paul. I'm standing with you. God, stay with you. But nobody else will, you see. Amen. When the brethren's trying to vote some other way, God said, I'll vote for you. Amen. As long as you've got God's vote, you may not have man's vote, but if you've got God's vote, it's not lonely anymore, you say. Amen. A lot of things worse than loneliness. Amen. And so you see, Paul was not alone in his stand. And now when he took a stand for God, and God stood with him, and there's a lot of things worse than that. And then look at something else. And you see, there was a time in Paul's life. And we see Paul, I admire this great man of God. And nobody I know could come up with this man. But yet there was times in Paul's life, and that he felt weak. And there's times he felt lonely. And that's just normal for the born-again child of God. And especially in Paul's situation. And Brother God used him for the glory of God. But look what he said in the second part of verse 17. He said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. And then he said, and strengthened me. And all of you say, preacher, I always feel strong. Well, praise God. Would you counsel me after the service? And there's times that I don't feel strong. And there's times that I feel weak. And there's times that Paul felt weak. And brother, the suggestion is in this verse, that Paul needed the strength of God in his life, and Brother Paul needed what God had for him, and there was a weakness that came in his life, and God strengthened him in the time of his weakness, you see. We need sometimes somebody to help us up. We need somebody to hold us up, amen. I mean, sometimes you young folks, you know, and you get out, you know, away from the crowd, and get away from the church, and they'll say, what did you do yesterday? Did you go to church yesterday? And the pressure begins to mount, and the pressure begins to come, and they make fun of you, and they ridicule you, the way you dress, and the way you talk, and the places you go. And sometimes you say, I just feel lonely. I feel like I'm very weak. But all of a sudden, God, if you lean on him, and my friend, God will strengthen you and give you companionship that nobody else will, you say. Amen. God will stand with those that stand with him. Yes, sir. I'd rather be with God than anybody else I know, hadn't you? Amen. I tell you, there was a strengthening in Paul's life. And brother, the positive aspect of being in jail for Paul was he wasn't lonely any longer. And my friend, he wasn't weak any longer. And the strength of God came on his soul. And my friend, there were some things that Paul and my friend had in jail and that he couldn't have had anywhere else. As a matter of fact, as long as you're in the will of God, as long as you know that you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter what comes or goes. It doesn't matter what they say. And what they do, if you're in the perfect will of God, and brother, get your back on the stay with God, God will stay with you, and work for God, and they'll away. Paul said, and they said, Paul, wait a minute, boy. You're in the jailhouse, and you ought to be feeling bad, and you ought to be feeling lonely, you ought to be feeling weak. But praise God, he said, in the jailhouse, and said, glory to God, I finished my course, I've run my race, it's over, I've run the house, you see. Wasn't discouraged at all. Amen. Listen. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians. I had to read about what Paul said, you know, about weakness. Let's look at this man, you know. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, of the Jews five times, I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city. It sounds like there come a time in his life sometimes that he just didn't know which way to turn. It's unraveling. And then he turned around and it's the heathen, you say. Matter of fact, probably sometimes you couldn't tell the difference in it. Amen. Sometimes I'm sure there was times he just sort of couldn't tell the difference. Sometimes the church can look like a bunch of heathens, amen. That's because that they have let themselves become controlled and by their feelings and by their flesh, and they've gotten away from the spirituality that the man of God is trying to instill in their hearts and souls, and they're giving them the greater grace and knowledge of the Lord instead of God, and they rise up, you see. They rise up. Paul said, I was in perils of my own countrymen. I was in perils of the heathen, he said. He said, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness. So it doesn't matter if you're in the city or if you're in the country, Brother Willis. It doesn't make any difference, does it? I mean, the power is still there, amen. It doesn't matter where you say, I'm going to run from the robber. I'm going to run from the perils. It doesn't matter where you go. That's the same everywhere, amen. Yes, it is. So you see, there's the front. Look, I got to read it further. He said, in weariness, I mean, you ever get tired? I don't get tired out of the way. Sometimes I get tired in the way. Yes, sir. But that's what the Lord's for. When I'm weak, I'm strong. And when I feel bad, I can't go any further. Then God does something for my soul. Yes, sir. I've been around too long to tell me God don't forsake his own. He stays with you. So young folks, listen, if you'll stay with him, he'll stand with you. He will. I mean, don't worry about what they're saying. They're going to talk about somebody. If you was doing wrong, they talk about you doing wrong. I mean, they're going to talk about you, whatever you do. And they're searching for something. But be right. And if the devil howls and he growls, just be out of the way, you see. Stand with God. You got yourself. Stand with him and God will bless you, you see. Amen. Preaching, listen. Not forsaken in weakness. Beside those things, Paul said, as if those things wouldn't hold up things. Beside those things, he said, which are within, without, that which cometh above me daily, the care of all the churches. Yeah. Brother Wayne, I've often wondered how in the world Paul done it. I mean, one puts me in the ground. Amen. He had the care of all the churches, those churches he'd established, and got going in the faith. The men of God had to stay behind and come to work. And he had the care of all the churches. My friend Paul had a good race to run. And we're going to take the hat off for him whom he stands at the judgment seat of Christ. Care of all the churches. He said, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Now look at that. He said, who is weak and I'm not weak? Now you get your thumbs in your coats, you know, and say, bless God, I'm handling a situation. Just bring it on. Whatever situation it is, just bring it. You just stick around. You'll get you a situation that'll ride you down. Amen. Yes, sir. Just stick around. Let me something come along. And Paul said, who's weak and I'm not weak, you say. So he had some things that he knew in his life that he faced that he felt awful weak in. I'm glad, thank God. Now, I'm not talking about he didn't quit and he didn't compromise. But he leaned on God, you see. Let's finish reading that. He said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. That's a glory of God in the week today. Isn't it a good day for God to show what he can do? Yeah, I feel weak today. It's a good time for God to do something. Yeah, I feel healthy weak this morning, and that's a very day. You lean on the Lord, and God's going to stand with you. Amen. You go marching out, you know, bless God, bring it on. You know, you get slapped in the face so hard, you get up on a which way south. Amen. Amen. I mean, he said, who's weak and I'm not weak? I mean, there's times of weakness and we all suffer that. We suffer that. And I'm glad the glory of God's always around. But I've been timed so low, as the old fellow said, I had to sit on a newspaper, hang my legs off. But praise God, and the grace of God was always around to pick me up, and brother, lift me up and send me on down the road. Amen. Who's weak and I'm not weak? Paul said, don't get your things up. He said, because I'm weak sometimes. Now look what he said in the next part of that verse. Who's offended? And I burn not. Yeah, Paul said, you think I don't ever get offended? Who's offended? And I burn not. Sometimes you do burn with offense, don't you? Huh? I know we say the scripture. I know it says, hey, if we love the word of God, nothing shall offend us. We preachers like to quote that to the congregation. Amen. If you love the word of God, Psalms, and it will not, and nothing shall offend thee. Boy, we like to put that on that church crowd. Boy, I'm telling you, you got offended. Don't worry about it. Nothing shall. You got not to get your feelings hurt. Have you ever got your feelings hurt, preacher? You have? My soul. Offended. You ever get offended? Huh? You young folks ever get offended because somebody got your girlfriend? I can't believe he done that. I'll whoop him when I catch him. Amen. You ever get offended because somebody got your boyfriend? Amen. You ever get offended because somebody got your seat in the church house? You ever get offended because the church put somebody in that Sunday school class and they was qualified to teach it and they didn't put you in? You ever get offended at that? You ever get offended, you know, because I think God ordained me as a deacon, you know. I'm good material, and I just feel like I could handle the task. I'm not designed to make the rest, amen. Didn't put me in. I'm offended because they didn't put me in. Probably ought to put you in jail for what they ought to have done, amen. Who's offended? Oh, I'm telling those times we get offended, you know, that things just don't go our way. Just don't go our way. Well, and then preacher, you know, said, well, church, they forgot about my birthday. They didn't give me no money to go on vacation this year. I can't believe it. I know everybody here is so spiritual. There's never no offense took place in our lives, and we just love the Word of God so well, and it just fills our soul so good. And then I tell you, whatever they say, whatever they do, just don't bother us at all. And there's just no offense anywhere. And we don't even burn whatsoever. And wherever they slide, I think some of the biggest hypocrites of all times is Baptist preachers. Amen. Good to see y'all this morning. I wish I could smile good. I never have had a good smile. It's good to see y'all this morning. It's good to have Sister Wigglejaw over there. You know, it's good to see y'all this morning. Good to see you back in the church. Knowing good and well, they've already gathered in twos and threes down in the parking lot, and they're talking and kicking off about what the preacher's done. Amen. But it's good to see y'all today. It's just good to see you. I praise God. It's good to have you today. Amen. What you're really trying to say is, I wish you'd go home. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just why'd I get off on that rabbit trail? But you see, not long in this stand. He wasn't long in the jailhouse. I mean, he wasn't. He didn't stay weak in the jailhouse. God strengthened him. God put him on the scene. God grace in his soul. God let him stand for the glory of God. I tell you what he did do. He left out with his head high and with his chest out, putting on the chop breath. They took his head from his shoulders. His soul went back to the Lord, and he left behind a good testimony. Amen. You see, he wasn't forsaken in his weakness. He wasn't. Not only that, but preaching was made fully known. That's another good aspect of jail. It might not do us good to go sometimes. I got a missionary in our church goes to the jail. Preacher's been trying to get me to go. I ain't never wanted to go. I don't know why. I never did have to go to jail before. I never have been in there except to help somebody else. And every time I went in there, everybody I knew was saved. Amen. Everybody in jail I could find was living for God, and they wasn't their fault. Amen. I'm not saying we don't need those missionaries. We do. Because they keep going week after week, and the Holy Ghost uses them to break down that hypocrisy that we got. The same thing in the church as it is in the jailhouse. I break down that hypocrisy and get men to see what they really are, and the Word of God will do that. We and these missionaries taking the Word of God in the jailhouse. The Word of God will work in the church house, and it'll work in the jailhouse. You don't say, don't believe that. Well, you'd have to discredit the Apostle Paul, man. Because he preached in the jail, one of those all around him. Amen. Yeah, praise God. He preached in the jailhouse. Amen. I appreciate this man going, let those iron bars clank behind them, marching inside the prison. And the jails where murderers and thugs and rapists and sodomites and perverts is. I admire them doing that. That's not my calling. My calling is outside the jail. Amen. Pastor in the Baptist church. Somehow God ought to be in there. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, I got to hurry. But preaching is made fully known, you see. And you know what God told? Hey, in verse 17, look what Paul said. In verse 17 again, he said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. That by me the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul said, I want to preach because somebody is listening. There's not a whole lot of people that we help when we preach a message. But God's got one over here, one over there. A certain man, a certain woman, and a certain place. Amen. Sometimes we cry because we're not pleasing the whole congregation. Or we're not helping the whole congregation. God didn't tell us to do that. He wants us to help where it's needed help. And I don't have no idea this evening what God is using the preaching for and uses other men of God for. But the preaching of the gospel has got a purpose to somebody sitting in the bed. Somebody's needing what some preacher's preaching. If it didn't, we just might as well fold up and go home. But I know every time I stand, somebody's going to need something. And it may not be the one I think it is. You know, I've thought a few times, I know pretty well who this is going to. He's in the crossfires. You know, I pretty well know where this is going to. But you know, about the time when you pull off the trigger, it's one falls that old young. Huh? Somebody moved my sight. Somebody dropped my life. Pew. Huh? You ever shoot at one like that? I shot a deer like that one time. I shot at him once, and I missed him. I wasn't 50 yards away. I said, there ain't no way I could throw a rock and hit him. He stood there. He waited on me. He said, Lord bless his food. I shot at him again, and I saw the leaves jump over his back. Did you ever see the leaves jump when you just barely missed it? Huh? I said, surely not. And he still stood there. He was still praying, amen. And I shot him that time. Amen. I got my meat and carried it home. Now for you that's genteel and don't like to eat meat, go eat your vegetables. Give me some venison every once in a while. Amen. 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 But he said, that preaching is made fully known by who? By the man sitting in the jailhouse. By the man that got weak. By the man that got lonely. But thank God God showed up and strengthened and fortified what he needed for the time of need. And Paul just going to keep on preaching. You ever quit preaching? I quit a lot of times. Didn't tell anybody. Yeah. Something got to burn. Got to burn in my bones. I couldn't stay. Amen. You ever get to burning in your bones? Amen. I mean, now wasn't before it started. Amen. But listen, that's so preaching, you make pulling off. What did God tell Jonah? He said, arise and go to Nineveh and that great city and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee.